Delightful to share the podium with Tom. So I will go ahead and introduce the first speaker just to let people know. Each speaker has 10 minutes and then 5 minutes for questions, so please get your questions ready. And if you do ask questions, please come to the mic because it's being recorded. So I'm going to invite Kate Washburn up here to give you the first presentation. It's entitled Assurance in Action, Technical Assistance to Improve Chlamydia Screening Rates Among Young Females in Federally Qualified Health Centers in New York City. Her co-authors are Jennifer Fuld, Susan Blank, and Elizabeth Terranova. Kate.
Good afternoon. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about program collaboration and service integration, or PICSI, in New York City and how that project informed this particular pilot. I'm going to touch on chlamydia, HIV, and hepatitis C rates in New York City and how we use those to identify the target neighborhoods for the project. And then the federally qualified health centers that we partnered with, and then the meat of it, which is the pilot project itself, the data collection and the technical assistance. So program collaboration and service integration, or PICSI, is an initiative of the CDC's National Center for HIV/AIDS, viral hepatitis, STD, and TB prevention. And the goal of PICSI is to improve collaboration between programs and integrate service delivery wherever appropriate. So in 2010, New York City received a three-year demonstration grant, and then last year, a one-year continuation. So one of the goals of PICSI is to work with community providers to increase the delivery of integrated services. So this project was really born out of that concept. So just as background, this slide shows the volume of chlamydia, HIV, and hepatitis C cases in New York City, as well as some other STDs. And as you can see, there was about 3,000 newly reported cases of HIV in 2013, 6,700 cases of hep C, and 58,000 cases of chlamydia. So as a little bit of background, my bureau, the Bureau of Sexually Transmitted Disease, within the New York City Health Department, had decided to do a pilot project with community providers on improving chlamydia screening. But when we started to look at the data on reportable diseases in New York City, and the PICSI analyst did this for us, it was clear that chlamydia, hepatitis C, and HIV very frequently co-occur. So we felt like this was the perfect opportunity to actually integrate services, and rather than just approach the FQHC around chlamydia screening, to integrate it across these three diseases. So this map shows the five boroughs of New York City. The areas highlighted in red or purple are the zip codes in the top quintile for chlamydia, HIV, and hep C, or in other words, neighborhoods where these three diseases all commonly occur. So with this data in mind, we set out to work with community partners that provided health care to residents in the areas where these top quintile zip codes congregated, namely Harlem in Manhattan, the South Bronx, and Central Brooklyn. So what is a federally qualified health center? Federally qualified health centers are across the nation, and they're mandated to serve underserved areas or populations with which happen to also be high morbidity neighborhoods, at least in New York City. So we decided to approach FQHCs for this project, since many of the FQHCs in New York City serve the neighborhoods of interest, provide primary care, and therefore would be prime targets for assurance activities around screening guidelines, and have high enough volume of patients to make the juice worth the squeeze for us. So what did we do in terms of recruiting the FQHCs? So we wrote up a brief summary of what the pilot project was going to be, and we approached the Community Healthcare Association of New York State, or CHCANES, which is an umbrella organization of 60 FQHCs and lookalikes in New York State, and we asked them to send it out as an email blast to their members. So we did that, and we basically heard crickets, nothing. So we regrouped, and we actually our colleagues in PICSI managed to find some funds, and we were able to offer a small monetary incentive to the FQHCs in order for them to provide us the data. So we offered $6,000 total, $3,000 for each data pull, and we added that to the program description, sent it out again in an email blast, and then started to get some response. So we had a response from a bunch of, I think, four FQHCs. We ended up working with three of them. Sorry. Okay. So this slide shows the location of the clinics of the three FQHCs that we partnered with for the project. And as you can see, there's an overlap among the clinic locations and the high morbidity target neighborhoods that we had originally. The reason why this worked was because when we put the request out for the FQHCs, we specified which zip codes they had to have clinics in. So the pilot project, essentially what we did was we requested data on chlamydia, HIV, and hepatitis screening measures. We requested aggregate data and provided them with a detailed table shell for each of them to fill out and send back. And then after the baseline set of data, which covered January through June 2012, we provided training and technical assistance to the FQHCs around improving screening rates. And then we requested follow-up data for the following year, January through June 2013, and then we measured the changes in screening rates using chi-square analysis, which I'm about to show you. Just as a little bit of background, the screening measure that we use for, these are the screening measures for all three, but I'm going to focus here on just the chlamydia measure. So we use the standard chlamydia screening guideline that the CDC has that focuses on sexually active women, screened within the year for chlamydia. So we asked them for all of the sexually active women by age who had a visit within the period of interest, and the number of these women who tested for chlamydia. We also looked at positivity data. We asked for women both 15 to 25 and then also over 25. So the chlamydia measure was, again, based on sexually active women, but what does it mean to be sexually active when you're looking at electronic health record data? We had known from a previous project we had done with some FQHCs that the documentation of sexual history was pretty spotty in most EHRs. So we came up with a way of looking at sexual activity in two ways. The first way we asked was just did the provider put answer yes to sexually active on a structured field question in the EHR? And then the second one was did they say yes on a structured field or any of these proxy measures? So we looked at a history of an STD as reported by the patient or through ICD-9 codes in previous visits, whether they were prescribed a hormonal contraception, whether they had an IUD, whether they had Depo-Provera, Norplant, or ever had a PAP. So after the baseline data, the technical assistance that we provided included actually taking the baseline data and meeting in person with representatives of the FQHCs, particularly with the medical director, to review the data and present a preliminary data submission summary sheet to them, which included key findings and recommendations. So the chlamydia-related recommendations that we brought to each of the FQHCs basically focused on the fact that structured sexual activity question wasn't really capturing sexual activity, which I'm going to show you in a second, that annual screening rates of young women, sexually active young women less than 25, should be higher in these FQHCs, and that there was widespread over-testing of women over 25. So in addition to presenting the data, we also gave them copies of the STD screening and treatment guidelines, a CHI that had been produced in New York City around STDs. We provided grand rounds to them. So one of the FQHCs, Entity A, we did a grand round specifically on sexual history taking. And then we also gave them the opportunity to come to conferences, webinars, and intensive trainings that were offered through the New York City Prevention Training Center, the STD HIV Prevention Training Center. Okay, so the results. I'm going quick here. So basically in terms of sexual history, this table shows that providers at the FQHCs didn't do a great job in terms of documenting sexual history in a structured field. Two out of the three FQHCs only had sexual history documented about 50% of the time. That's Entity A and C. But there was a statistically significant increase in documentation of sexual activity at two of the FQHCs between baseline and follow-up. In terms of screening rates, the data that we pulled from the EHRs showed that the chlamydia screening among women less than or equal to 25 years of age significantly increased from 36% to 47% at entity A and from 70% to 77% at entity B. And with entity C, we couldn't evaluate this because there was a data submission error at baseline that could never be rectified. So while the goal was to decrease the overscreening of women greater than 25 years old, we actually saw that there was a slight increase in screening in this population at entity A and B, but in entity C there was a significant decrease in screening among older women from 50 to 41%. And then in terms of positivity, the highest positivity rates were among teens less than 19 at all three of the FQHCs, and then that positivity declined as the patients got older. But overall, I think the positivity was quite high at these federally qualified health centers, between 12 and 16% for teens and 6 and 11% for young adults, confirming for us that working with FQHCs with clinics in these high morbidity neighborhoods is really a good strategy. So in conclusion, sexual history structured fields are really underutilized in EHRs. Training on sexual history taking, at least through grand rounds, for providers appeared to help improve the documentation. Simple interventions like just requesting data and then presenting it back to the FQHCs seemed to actually help improve screening rates among young women, but it was a little bit less effective in terms of curbing the overscreening in older women, and that for us, this PICSE collaboration was meaningful in the sense that we were able to combine forces within the health department to approach FQHCs and not inundate them with several smaller projects. I think it enables the FQHCs to actually work with you and feel like they're working with the health department, not just with, you know, the Bureau of STD as opposed to HIV or viral hepatitis. That's it. Thank you. And I'm supposed to say if anyone has questions, please come to the mic.
Thank you. I know the impulse, I mean the impetus, was to reduce screening, overscreening in older women. But as you were doing this, were you looking at all at the exception cases or the situations where you would want to screen older women in some population, some high-risk area? And if so, how did you incorporate that into how you were doing this?
Right. So we actually, in the table trial, did not ask for the reason for screening if the woman was over 25. So it's a good point. You would want to screen someone who had multiple sex partners or had a new sex partner. So that could be the reason for a lot of those screens, which means that they were appropriate. So no, we didn't actually do that. We did, when we presented the data back, explain to them that those were the circumstances where you would want to screen, but given how high the percentage of those women were being screened, I think they were still overscreening.
Hi, Dan Lentini, CDC. Excellent presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can you talk a little bit about how you partnered with the FQHC or the primary care center, how you were able to develop the relationships that resulted in being able to get the data and work with them and present the data and how you set that up?
Sure. So like I mentioned in the presentation, we initially worked through CHICANES, which is the umbrella organization in New York State that essentially guides these FQHCs. And we asked them to sort of endorse the project and send it out an email. So that was initially how we got our foot in the door. And then we just put the blurb out and asked folks to email us if they were interested in participating. But I mean, honestly, I think the monetary incentive helped. We got no response before we offered a monetary incentive, and even though it was small for them, I think it was worth it. All they really had to do was provide the data And, you know, for the three that we worked with, they had a dedicated data analyst who could pull that data for them, so it's not such a burden to provide that information. And so they learned something back, and they made a little bit of extra funds along the way. Thanks.